You know what's happening, don't you?
Yes, I think I do.
I never meant for it to happen.
No, nor did I.
You know, when you first came into my office and said those few sad words about the tiny tooth in the back of your mouth that was hurting you, I think I felt something for that tooth even then that I wasn't meant to feel. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know that when I first came into your office, when I saw you standing there so stern in your white smock, I thought, he'll loathe me for having a cavity.
Oh, no, I didn't.
It will disgust him, I
thought. No, it didn't, Reba. Not only that it was a cavity, because dentists understand these things, but because... Well, because it was your cavity, and I think even then I loved it. That upset it. I do love you. Let's not talk about it for just a moment.
Do you know, when you looked in my mouth and said, it's rotten, I thought, nothing can happen now. And yet when you looked at me, you didn't look at me as though I were a woman with a rotten tooth. You looked at me as though I were me. And for the first time, I knew who I was, me.
Oh, Reba, do you know that when I looked into that mouth that I do love now, when I first looked down into that mouth and I saw that you were English clear through,
I think I knew then that something that I didn't mean to happen was going to happen.
Please don't, Adolf. I'm going to put my head on.
No, you don't have to go.
I've got something to tell you, Reba. I haven't told you before because there was no use. Seemed to me there was no sense upsetting you.
But now I have to tell you. I'm going away.
Away?
Yes. I've taken a job as a dentist in a leper colony. I think it's best.
I see.
They offered me the job several times, and I thought, no, I don't think I want to live with a lot of lepers. But now that... Well, now that this has happened, I think I've got to go.
I think it's the right choice. I think that there are good lepers and bad lepers. I don't think you can lump them together. Adolf, I'm so glad you told me this, because when I found out what was happening, when I saw that Morris knew, he knows, you know, he does know.
Morris knows?
He's always known, I think.
Oh, I didn't want Morris to know.
No.
Because I like Morris so very much.
He likes you, too. He likes you so much, more than me, I think. Sometimes he chuckles when he talks about you. I wanted us so very much to be happy, all three of us, but it can't be, can it?
I don't want to do this to Morris. I don't think it's right.
I'm going away, Adolf.
You too?
I'm going to Saudi Arabia to become a dental assistant. I've never been a dental assistant
Reba,
before,
Reba,
don't you
you
see?
Know nothing about teeth.
I know, but I think I can learn, don't you see? I think that if I can teach one Saudi Arabian the rules of dental hygiene as I have learned them...
Oh, Reba... If it were possible, if I thought it could be, that I have taught you something about teeth that you can pass on to Arabians.
Oh, Adolf, I know more about oral prophylactics now than I've ever known about anything.
Oh, Reba, then it hasn't been wasted.
No.
All that time in the rowboat talking about upper and lower and back and front.
No, I heard every word. Do you know, I always thought of myself as sort of a grey, stodgy kind of woman, a sort of English Oxford sort of woman. And inside, you know, I'm not that sort of woman.
No, I know you're not.
I'm a different kind of woman.
Oh, Reba.
I'm not just an English woman.
Oh, Reba, I know now that I'm going to make those lepers very happy. Because, do you see, because I'll be a happy dentist.
I hope that you make those lepers as happy as you've made this dental assistant. I'm sorry. I'm crying, aren't I?
That's all right, Reba. I think... Every Englishman must cry just once or twice. Goodbye, Reba.
Goodbye, Adolf.
I would like to take you to the opera where you are going to hear a Mozart opera, which is nothing but an opera written by Mozart. This is an opera in one act, and it begins when the curtain rises. Otherwise, you couldn't see a thing. The stage setting is a kind of a forest. There are two large trees, which, of course, indicates the forest. It's a kind of a small forest, but it's a forest. First, the tenor comes in. He is supposed to meet his soprano, as they usually call those ladies. But she's a little late this particular season, so he hides himself behind one of the trees in order to surprise her when she comes in a little later, which she does. So when she arrives, she can't find him because he is occupied behind one of the trees. Now, he's with a knife carving her name into the scenery. Now, she doesn't know that he is there, but, well, as a matter of fact, she must know it because she saw it during rehearsals. Either she pretends that she doesn't know it, or she's just plain stupid. Or whatever it is, she gets across the stage somehow and takes place behind the other tree, which, for the occasion, hides her to a certain extent. Now, the chorus comes in, but nobody knows why except Mozart, and he is dead. And that's just too bad. Next, her father comes in, and he is a very old man, primarily because she is a very old soprano. And he is very angry because apparently she is not his daughter. Now, this has nothing to do with the opera. I found that out myself. And that's what we call research. Anyway, he decides that he has had enough of her, so he tells her to die, and that's exactly what she's going to do. And with that, the opera ends, and people can go home. Now I take you to the opera house where you hear the conductor's footsteps when he enters the orchestra pit. Here he comes. Yeah, he walks sideways. And this is the overture. This, ladies and gentlemen, was the first part of the overture. Now you hear the second part, and that's exactly the same. Now this little blip is an extra blip we have in case we shoot one short of blips. But that has never happened, so we have a lot of blips left over. Now the curtain rises and the tenor arrives. And he's a little tall fellow. He comes in. He comes in from the left in a single file.